Well, it's a little bit after 6. I think we'll call the meeting to order. Adopt or amend the agenda. Any additions, corrections?
Oh. I'll move the agenda. I'll second.
Lisa and Jane. Any other discussion on it? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approve the minutes on July 19th. The board for, can we do them all three at once? Let's do all three of them at once. The board meeting, the personnel committee, and the finance committee. They're all in your packet. Anybody want to make that motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Wayne made the motion.
I'll second it.
George seconded. Now we'll have is there any discussion, any additions, corrections, or anything else? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public forum, Karen said the paper's blank. Financials, the bills, emails, and addendum, they were all emailed to you. What do you wish to do with that?
Make a motion, we pay the bills.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Gary made the motion and Christine seconded it. Any discussion or you got any questions?
Question.
Yes. I can't already see you married tonight. I should go over in the corner maybe, huh?
Hello. Oh, you can hear.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
The increase. Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is related to the budget.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I withdraw.
Okay. Anybody else? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financial report, that also was in your packet. Need action on that?
So moved.
Randy, motion.
Second.
Mary, second. Thank you. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Current letter of credit designation. This request to approve it was on page 13. Any comment from staff on that?
This is just an updated letter of credit with a different amount. The Bremer Bank sends these to us.
Okay.
As part of the additional security for keeping a larger balance at their institution.
Anybody else have any questions on that? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda? Yes.
We didn't have a motion.
Oh, we didn't have a motion. I'm getting ahead of myself.
I'll move that. I'll move that credit.
All right. Sorry about that.
I'll second.
So Lisa and Al motioned and seconded it. Now we'll have any more discussion? Sorry about that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda? You can see there 6.1, 6.2, 3. Any? Ways we'll move the consent agenda, and then if we want to talk about anything.
I'll move.
Mary moves the consent agenda, and
I'll
Jane
second.
Seconds it. Now, is there any discussion? You want to have any comments or anything on that? Okay. Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Others? Or opposed? Carried. Number 7 is communications. Do we have anything?
There's two things I was going to save till later, but I'll pass them around. One is a Star News article highlighting the work of Commissioner Fusum, who is one of our esteemed authors and also a former corrections officer, so I'll share that. And then I also wanted to share that the Delano Public Library received the Best of Delano Award in the category of Best Entity Not Fitting Any Other Category. So I'll pass that around, and there is a little congratulations card here if you want to find it.
It just means you did.
I forgot to bring my copy to have it.
Yeah. What paper was that in, Karen?
That was the Star News, the Elk River Star News.
Okay.
And then the Delano one came from the Delano paper. I can't remember the title of that paper, though. It's on the award.
Anything else? So that'll be going around. You can look at it as we go here. Then we'll move to presentations. We have anything tonight?
Yes, we have our patron services librarian, Jade Lauber, is going to present on our partnership with WCOSA. This is one of the partnerships that we're sharing with the board in an effort to meet our strategic plan goal of sharing more information with the board about diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at Great River. So take it away, Jade.
Is that working?
Yep.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Good to see you all. So as Karen said, I'm Jade Lauber. I'm one of the librarians here, and I've been working on a fun sort of partnership with WCOSA, and we've done a few different events, sort of things that we've done together, and then I'm going to tell you sort of the future
things. Karen, can you dim the lights?
So I'm going to dim the lights, too, because... Oh.
All right. Well,
as I go forward, I just wanted to get in.
True executive delegated the
Maybe.
It's coming.
Okay. Okay, so, so the virtual job explorers, the adaptive theater workshop, and the video. So I am going to talk about the video kind of in the middle of the presentation, and I'll show it to you at the end. I'm going to go through all the slides first. So just briefly about WCOSA, they are an organization that works for and with adults with disabilities. So that's whether they're cognitive or physical disabilities. They provide programming that empowers their clients to develop skills, pursue employment, and foster community connections. And their mission is to provide individuals with disabilities the opportunity to live and work in their communities. So they're really doing things to provide meaningful connections in the community. And they have several locations throughout our region, including Waite Park, St. Cloud, and Sauk Center. So Mike and I, Mike is the programming person at WCOSA, we got connected in the fall of 2021, and he reached out to see if we would participate in their virtual job explorers. And it's really just what it sounds like. They all got together over Zoom and did tours and explored different careers, and they did Coburn's, they did banks, they did the fire department, and one of the events was the library. So these pictures is just a screenshot from the Zoom class that we did with them. Connie and Ariel, two of the other librarians, and I got together. We presented a set of slides that was basically a photo tour of the library. So we just went all over the library. We showed them the inside of the library, everything that we have going on, and we talked about what it's like to work in all the different areas, and then answered a lot of questions. So we had fun questions like, what is our favorite food, and if we had a good weekend, but we also had serious questions like, can people with walkers and wheelchairs come to the library, or what about someone who's deaf, can they use the library? So it was really fun to talk to them and say, yes, we have the what you need, and we're willing to help you, and you can get into the library in your wheelchair. And that led to Mike and I talking about creating a video showcasing accessibility at the library. And so we started in St. Cloud. He does hope to do this in some of the other branches, but we started in St. Cloud, and let's see here if I go forward. So basically, the point was just to showcase all of the accessibility and the ways that people of all different abilities can use the library. And so Mike brought with him, after we got all of our proper approvals, Mike brought Brian, who is our actor and interviewer, and Brandon operated the camera for us. Tessa took photos of the library, and then Mike, he's in sort of on the edge there, was our editor supervisor. And it took a few hours. We basically gave Brian a tour, and we pulled in some other librarians and associates to kind of help along the way. Mike used all of his knowledge to edit the video. We added captions and music and credits and all kinds of things like that. We emailed back and forth and added extra edits, so blurring out the library card number and things like that for privacy. And then he worked his magic, and we ended up with a video that's about 11 minutes long. So at the end of my slides, I'll show you the video. But the video was really good and popular. He put it on YouTube. He posted it on Facebook. And that led us to get together again in just this past July to just, again, kind of brainstorm what else can we do. And he came up with an idea for an adaptive theater workshop. Excuse me. And so this is a theater workshop for children of all abilities. And so we booked this room for August 29th and 30th and collaborated on publicity. And so he distributed flyers throughout the disability community. We, of course, had flyers distributed throughout the library. And then there were 2 hour-and-a-half long events back-to-back. And then Mike and, let's see here. There we go. So the activity started with Connie and I reading the book We're Going on a Bear Hunt to the group. And then Mike and Heather from Great Theater facilitated all the activities. And so they did all kinds of adaptive movement, and they did some sensory play. And, oh, those are their Facebook posts that they that I just took screenshots of because they had a few extra cute photos. They got a lot of love, some shares, good comments. So it was just really fun. At the end of the session, the kids did a little performance for their parents, and it wasn't my day to work, so I wasn't here, but Connie came and watched the performance, and so it was a lot of fun. And Mike hopes to do another workshop. That's another thing he's looking into, more grant funding, to see if we can do something a little bit bigger.
Envelope for the card.
And then, all right, that's the end of my slides. And then finally, just like moving forward, Rosanna, our circulation supervisor, and I met with Mike again just last week, just to keep the discussion going about all the things that we can continue collaborating on. And so we sent library card applications back with him for his clients in a few different formats. And we also got them an institutional card last week. And then just discussed doing some writing workshops, audiobook club, photography shows, things like that. Mike's a really enthusiastic partner, so we could come up with anything, and he's going to want to do with us. So if there aren't any questions yet, I'll show you the video. Okay. All right, so this is the video we worked on. I'm just going to let it go. Upstairs and look for some books, but okay. I'm going to show you the elevator first. So the
Let's do it. All right.
I am watching. I have an urgent email that I need to answer. I'm just going to get done. Nope, that's okay.
This is our low vision computer, and so it's got a really big screen, and you can see there's two different keyboards, so you can use whichever one looks better to you. And the other thing that's really cool about this computer is it's also a touch screen. You can use your mouse, or you could just touch the area that you want to use. Softball and a baseball. Look at that. Oh, look at
And I know if you search our catalog, Brian, not only do we have baseball ones like this, but there's ukulele, there's disco, there's various crafting ones. So you can learn a lot of things. I have to tell you, I took home the ukulele one and kind of annoyed my family with trying to learn how to play the ukulele. But these are really great. Maybe you find that useful at some point.
Yeah.
So we also have these memory boxes, Brian, that are good to just kind of jog your memory about something that you hold close to your heart. Let's give it a now. This one says summer, and I'm already wishing for summer. Here we are in
Minnesota winter.
Yeah. But if we look inside, look, it's got a puzzle about a cabin. Oh, look at this. Kind of can take you back, you know, yeah. to when you have these experiences, and it's got little activity cards that will show you pictures, and then you identify them. We've got some DVDs in here too, and did you ever take road trips?
Yep.
So here we have a book all about family road trips in the summer. So yeah, this is a great idea if you're kind of having a low day and you're struggling with, you know, pulling up some good memories, that a memory box would be really helpful.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, now that you have all of your books and movies to check out, we are going to check out the self-checkout machine.
Okay.
So this is something you can check out your books yourself here.
Okay.
So the first thing you do is just set your books down here.
All right.
And
I'm going to take your card. And we're going to scan it under this red line. So turn it over.
And there we go. Now, do you remember what your PIN number is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to push enter. All right. This is your PIN. Ready to check out.
Nice.
So the first thing you're going to do is take your first item. Turn it over so we can see the barcode.
All right, that's it. Does anybody have any questions?
Questions, comments?
And maybe I missed this. The link is accessible on the GRE site,
For the video?
Yeah.
I am not sure if it lives on our library's website. I know it's on Wacosa's Facebook page, and it's on YouTube. But I can send the link to anyone who wants it, too. It is publicly available.
Nice work. It's
yeah.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I think we should clap.
Yeah.
also think if you can find a place for it on our website, a link, if it seems, it would be great.
Yeah, and even, I mean, as far as I go, it taught me something, things that I did already know, I didn't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
we weren't expecting it to be 11 minutes long. We were thinking we would do it in sections, but we just did it all at once and got it all stuck in there. So
it works.
Really good.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Any other questions for her?
No.
Nice. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks all.
Good.
It's one of our superstars, so it's great to hear from her directly. I'm glad you were able to see some of her work tonight.
Wait for her to turn the lights back on.
There we go. All
right. Anything else for presentations? That was great.
Thank you.
Yep. And we'll move on to staff reports, executive director.
I will highlight that we have promoted Ryan McCormick to Associate Director of Human Resources. He'll be here a little. Oh, he's here now. He snuck in the dark. So he'll be, he has an agenda item later. You'll get to meet him formally then. And then we have also backfilled his position, Patron Services Supervisor. Jeanette Burkhart has supervised our Big Lake and Becker branches for quite some time, and she's being promoted to supervisor starting on October 3rd. So we are now trying to backfill the Big Lake Becker position. So if you know anyone who would like a full-time job operating our Big Lake and Becker libraries, the job is posted right now on our website. And the position does require a bachelor's degree, and we'd love to have someone with a library degree or library background. But we have LSCs who have all kinds of different backgrounds who are successful. So if you know anyone who might be interested, please send them our way.
Does she know anyone? I mean, she knows the library.
She knows a lot of people. And I also plugged it at Sherburn County's meeting this morning. It seemed like Rayanne, the former mayor of Big Lake and now county commissioner, was also interested. But word of mouth has been one of the best ways to fill some of our jobs. So appreciate any help you might be able to get. Give. And then Zuria and Ryan and Brianne and Amy Schronk and I got together to talk about the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Toolkit survey that we administered in May. I do have the report out here in my director's report. One of the next steps for us is just kind of regrouping that toolkit survey. And thanks to the many board members who did take it, especially a second time, the language in that survey is just not great. So it's definitely impacted the response rate. And so the staff and the board samples of responses were representative and didn't show a whole lot of change from the last time we administered that survey. It was mostly a measurement tool as part of that LSTA grant we just wrapped up. So what we're hoping to do, though, is explore the idea of more community participation, particularly from our youth. And one of the ideas we thought about was adding some type of youth advisory board for the Great River Board, formerly in the bylaws. I know the Stearns County Human Services Advisory Committee has a similar board where they have people, students from all over the region who are able to just kind of weigh in on different parts of human services. And we thought that model might work well on a regional level as well. So it's something we're going to start looking at and maybe pursue in the coming year.
Carol?
Larry?
Or Mr. Chair, does that mean we might have a kid on our board?
Actually, I think it would be an actual, like an advisory board of kids who are formally appointed by at a county by county level somehow. So figuring out how that mechanism would work and getting kids, and likely some of those meetings would have to be by Zoom just because the geography is so big. But it'd be really great to get participation from all over the region just to, as not only as enhancing library service, but also providing an additional leadership opportunity for youth across the region.
Oh, I agree.
Karen, do you have any kind of an age?
Probably teens of some
teens.
Sort. But yeah.
Mid-teens.
Right now it's just a concept, but if you guys are open to that, I think that eventually, you know, once we have it formalized, I could see it being incorporated into the bylaws, but like building it
is the first step in figuring out how you actually get kids on the committee. So I was hoping to reach out to my contacts at Human Services to see how they started.
Okay. If you get a negative reaction from someone in that age group that you're suggesting apply, but the clincher is usually to remind them, you know, it looked really good on your college application.
Resume.
Yeah. Well, and if it's formal, maybe there's a way we can incorporate a per diem reimbursement somehow to have an incentive for them to participate.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So we had a forum for youth some time back here, which incorporated kids from St. Cloud, Sartell, and Sauk Rapids. It was pretty amazing to see how enthusiastic the kids were. Mm-hmm. And what was also very amazing to see was how disconnected we are from the kids in how they get information, what they rely on information, and what do they want from the library. And I think all of us are from a generation that is not familiar with that. So I think incorporating some youth who can maybe help us navigate that part of it would be a really good idea.
It's our market.
I agree. I think it's a wonderful idea to incorporate kids, even on the board, or whatever you think, advisory or whatever. They're way smarter than we are, or we want to be.
Well, their concerns are different.
And, yes.
You know, if you're going to be appealing to market in the future, it helps to have that exposure.
And their media is so different.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
My point. That's it.
Or if you get to that point, I guess I would suggest that, you know, maybe they meet, you know, I don't know how many times a year they're going to meet, however, and then maybe have a report from two of them to come to this board. That would probably be your...
That's government. We've got to have a report.
Yep.
and a committee. Yeah.
And a committee.
Yep. A committee for the committee. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Anything else on that subject?
No. Thank you.
Management report?
I think I'll have Amy talk about the vans here. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We've been able to replace both of our 2016 transit vans recently. The order that we placed in March of 2021 finally arrived last week. And then we found a 2019 transit van in Painesville that fit within that $35,000 budget that was set by the board in January, so we grabbed it. And so now we have a 2019, a 2022, a 2018 on the road. Hopefully we can keep them out of the shop, and things are moving forward. So we're ready.
Yeah. Right, great.
Yeah, we're back on track.
So yes. That's
exciting.
So, Mr. Chair, Amy, is that one of them out in the parking lot now that's beautifully wrapped?
The one that's wrapped out in the parking lot, we're calling the clunker temporarily because there is something clunking in it, and we're not relying on that one right now. We're going to wait to have everything else.
It's a great billboard.
And, yeah, everything's shiny and new is over here. So.
Well, the 2019 isn't as shiny as the 2022.
It will be.
Oh, yeah.
And then in terms of managed reports, I would also highlight that the Elk River City had their budget meeting and have decided not to renew the contract on the open hours with Great River for the additional 3 open hours. And we had talked about that at the previous meeting. So I'm working with Lori Lundstrom, who's our library services coordinator there, to take a look at what are the busiest hours based on checkouts and kind of go from there in terms of adjusting the schedule there after January 1st.
Okay. Any questions on that? I guess what was their reasoning for not going forward with that?
What did Ryan put in his report? Basically, you know, if we were choosing not to fund it, they were deciding not to fund it as well. I mean, we look at circulation data. When we added the hours 5 years ago, the assumption was more hours would mean more circulation. Circulation didn't grow, and the hard thing about that is we had COVID in the midst, so everything declined. but in relation to other libraries of that size, they really didn't expand faster than anybody who had 48 hours versus 51.
Okay. Ms. Mary?
That could not preclude something in the future, right?
There could be a future agreement, correct.
Okay.
That's how that agreement came to be in the first place, was mm-hmm. we did the library development plan. We said these are our base level hours based on number of borrowers. If a city wants to add services, we can certainly do that, and that's how that contract was formed.
Okay. I recall.
Yep. Anything? Yeah, I think you were on the Elk River board when that all happened.
Could be.
Yeah.
Can't remember. I probably jumped up and down.
Okay. Any other questions on that subject? Okay. Building report.
I would highlight that the City of Howard Lake is going back for bids. All of the bids came in way too high. Yeah. They're adjusting, actually, what the project scope is and being more specific on different parts of it because it's kind of hard to explain not having been the one who created the bids, but it's my understanding that some of the bid language was just too open-ended, and so the types of bids they got back were kind of all over the place. In addition, construction costs are really, really high. So they're hoping to pare back certain things and still meet requirements. One of the examples that was given is, you know, to receive the state grant money, they need to have solar panels involved with the project. It originally was bid with the solar panels on the roof, which means the trusses have to be heavier. So what if we put the solar panels on the ground on a separate stand instead of on the roof? Those are the types of things they're taking a look at right now.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Karen, Karen, is the scope anywhere similar to the Kimball Library, or is it completely different?
I don't know if you were. A couple of years ago, Nick was here presenting on their project. And it's going to be part of a community center, which included like a splash pad. And
oh, yeah.
And so it's not just the library that they're bidding. It's a much bigger project, and they're going after, I think, a USDA grant possibly and some other funding sources as well. So they already have the State Library Improvement grant funds in holding. It's just a matter of connecting all the dots and getting those bids to go out. And if you remember the Kimball project, the same thing happened. They held it back and then went out for bid and got much more competitive bids and had it more timed seasonally for that construction group to bid in a way that made more sense for everybody.
Mary?
So how much are they short at this point?
I don't even know. I don't think Nick said that specifically.
He probably wouldn't
It's a really big project.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. On that. Summer reading program?
What I would highlight is we broke a record with summer reading program this year. This is the most participants we've ever had. And then the things to really highlight, you know, staff across the region did a fantastic job. Everybody worked really hard. But, you know, the phenomenon of St. Michael stands out pretty heavily. If you look at that line, they're exceeding every other library in the system in terms of program participation. And so, you know, we just have to keep in mind that that library is just on a totally different trajectory from everyone else right now. But fantastic participation. We exceeded any other year, pre-COVID. So fantastic work from our staff.
And that was really booming program pre-COVID, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It always was a big, big program. We're always looking to grow participation. It's nice to see it when it actually happens.
Okay. On the others, anything else? Okay, then we got committee reports, Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll do that one.
Sure.
So we did get new officers, were elected. They still are turning out 4 to 5 articles per week, 2 podcasts a week. Newsletter every week, and they're on social media every day. The VR kits are finalized, and they have them ready for the schools. They're also getting an updated package set up from a vendor outlining the next series of video classes that are available to our members at no cost to help them build library skills. They're ready to go. And we're waiting on the final word from the library, the State Library Services, on spending our ARPA money, which is $10,000. And we plan to extend our mini-grants with that in the fall again. Our audit isn't finished yet, so we can't quite go ahead with funding that from our end. But the ARPA money, we're going to use that for the mini-grants. We're going through a process of rethinking our technology, information technology job, because Angie Jordan, Mary Jordan's assistant, has taken a new job. So they're going to redo that job description, and they have plenty of time. They're ahead on everything else right now, so they don't have to hire someone quickly. So that they will be looking for a new technology assistant. And there was a problem with the audit. Our audit did take longer than expected, and it cost more, but the content of the audit was fine. We're still in good financial shape. The bookkeeping issues do continue, and there are some solutions that Mary Jordan has worked out. The first one is to get a better system from the ERDC, and that's our where the CMLE is housed, is the name of the ERDC. So they're either going to pivot over to using a separate bookkeeper, who is Don, who has been working with the schools across the system, or we need to get a better system with the ERDC. And then our chair, Rhonda, and Mary are going to be meeting with the head of ERDC on Wednesday to talk through the issues and hopefully getting them resolved soon, because we are not getting our financial reports. Is there any questions on that?
Who are the new leadership of that?
It's basically the same. Rhonda is still the chair. Okay. I'm the vice chair. Jesse is the treasurer, and Wendy is the secretary. Okay. So only thing that changes is the vice chair, because Bethany termed out from Rogers, who was on there for quite a while.
Any other questions? Great report. Mm-hmm. Any unfinished business? Thing that we need to take care of that we haven't?
Chair.
Yes.
We got complaints about some items in the library. Are we gonna talk about that at all?
Right now that is going through our normal process for evaluating materials at the library.
I don't know what that process is. Could we go through the process so we educate at least myself?
Oh, sure. And it's available on our collection development policies on our website if you want to see it in detail. So if someone complains about an item in the collection, we ask that they fill out a form called a request for reconsideration. That form includes their contact information, the title of the book, specifically did they read the book, what pages did they object to, what content did they object to, and that type of detail. And then that goes back to our collection development department, and they go back and look through, you know, why was the book selected, what criteria was used, what do reviews say, what other libraries hold it, and make a determination based on those standards that we have set out. And then that response is sent to the patron who complained and then also the coordinator from any library that might have originated from. A lot of these come through across the desk when they do come through. So we want to make sure that if a patron comes back to that library and asks for more information, that coordinator also has that information. And typically that's the end of the complaint process. We haven't typically had anything rise above that level once we've had that interaction. There was one instance a couple of years ago, if you're on the board, where there was a magazine that someone had complained about. And when we went through and reviewed it, because the complaint had actually come directly through a board member, we learned that the magazine itself wasn't something the library had selected. It was a donated magazine that was put on display. And so that process was slightly different in that we never had purchased the material in the first place. But other than that, most of them end right at that interaction directly with the patron and the collection development department.
So what is it a committee of a number of people that make it?
Well, Jamie Trenum, our associate director of collection development, who you guys are probably familiar with, she's in charge of that department. And then we have two librarians, collection development librarians, that also do most of the selection with her. So they're the ones who are primarily responsible for reviewing that.
And the specific criteria is on the library website? Or
our policies are on the library website. Yeah, that's the criteria they use.
Okay, so that's in there if I wanted to go look.
Yeah, I can drop it in an email if you guys want to see it.
Yeah, and if I may, Ms. Chair, you sent out an email to us about that one book that the person was very concerned about, that they said it was okay to have it in the library, 16-1. I was trying to find that. That was
East Central Regional Library, and that was the same title that you received a complaint about recently. So that was a book challenge that has been going through the process over at East Central for several months. And their policies are written slightly different than ours. And so they, I think, had a step in there where there was a committee involved or the board. It rose beyond just that first level of review, that it moved to the executive director and then moved up to the board level. That could happen here. Our policies aren't as specific as theirs. Ours says those steps may be taken, and we have never had to actually go beyond that at this point. But the East Central group had a committee of the board who reviewed it in between board meetings and then met with legal counsel to get advice on what to do next. So their decision, I think, was last Monday, and that board voted 15-1 to leave the book in the catalog and on the shelf where it was already located.
Mr. Chair, another question. So maybe you can't answer this. I don't know. Do we have material in the library that people would consider inappropriate for kids that are 9 or 10 years old?
Yes. We have a lot of it.
Okay.
That's our job. We collect everything. There's stuff that's going to be offensive. And I think I said this at Stearns County, we're not doing our job if there isn't something on our shelf that you object to, because our job is to collect everything and make it available.
Yeah. Okay.
School districts also have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the shelves.
Mary?
Part of our proposal or our position is there's also parental responsibility, parental control, parental guidelines, and
100%. Yeah, good point. I mean, that's a separate policy, but our expectation is that children aren't in the library unaccompanied by a parent or caregiver. So if people are raising concerns about young children accessing material by themselves, that causes a question of, okay, so who's responsible for that child when they're in the library? Our position at Great River has always been parents are responsible for their child's library activity. And we go so far as saying a child can get a library card without a parent signature, but you're still responsible for your child's library activity. Yeah. So, you know, it's not just the selection piece. It's a much broader philosophy that we want kids to be able to access the library, and we want parents to be able to, you know, observe their children and interact with their children and oversee their children when they are using the library.
Do their job.
Parents have the right to deny a library card for their kids if they want to go that far. We have a process for that. Hardly ever happens because we don't have the ability to say you can only check out these books. Mm-hmm. Or you can only check out 5 books, because we have self-checkout machines. We have lots of different staff. We just don't have the ability to guarantee that we're going to be able to follow through on that promise every single time someone comes to use the library. So our process is, if you want your kid to have a card, we have a process for that. If you don't want your kid to have a card, we have a process for that too.
And we are a public library, which means we offer whatever we can.
Correct.
And it's your choice if you choose to see it. Or no.
Yes. Well, and our selection process is largely patron-driven. So if you request that we purchase a book, we will probably purchase the book. There's very few books that we don't purchase. It might be because it's out of print, or, you know, it's just way too expensive and you're the only person who's asked it, and maybe St. John's has it. But for the most part, we purchase what people ask for.
Well, and that's the other point. If we don't have it here,
you can interlibrary loan it. Yeah, it's on the shelf in East Central. They could still interlibrary loan it if they have a library card.
Or Library of Congress or wherever. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Maria?
Thanks.
Yeah, just a quick question. When you were talking about kids can get a library card, what is the youngest age a child can request a library card of their own?
Request? As soon as they're able to say the words. You can get a library card for your six-month-old.
Yeah.
And back in the day when you could only check out 5 DVDs, people did exactly that.
If you could drop an email for that policy, I would like to see it too.
Oh, sure.
So one more thing. So a 15-year-old or 14-year-old that has a library card come in the library and check out, I'm going to call it smut, okay, for lack of a better term. They could take it, check it out automatically and take it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
The one restriction we have on, there's two. We do ask kids if a child is 17 or under, they get a different type of library card in our system. So it's considered a minor card. And what that does is two things. One, in the St. Cloud Library, there's three different levels of computers. There's computers in the children's area, there's computers in the teen area, there's computers in the adult area. You can only use the teen computers if you're within a certain age range. You can only use the children's computers if you're under 12. But anybody can use the adult computers. So you have more computer access if you're a kid in this building. And then if it's a rated R movie, we have a specific board policy blocking kids 17 and under from checking out movies. So the self-checkout would stop you from checking out a rated R movie.
We do have a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm just asking these questions because I want to educate myself because if I get asked.
Yeah, well, and that's great because it's, I think some of the confusion comes from people not understanding how the library actually works. When people say, I want to move the book to the adult section, in the Belgrade Library, you're talking about moving it maybe 10 feet. It's not really effectively changing whether that child can access the book. In this building, yeah, it's putting it further away, but not most of the libraries aren't this size. They're much, much smaller. And so it makes people feel better, but it doesn't necessarily do what people who are objecting to the materials would maybe try to accomplish.
But that's back to the parental.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
And then responsibility. The other thing is if you don't like a book, don't check it out.
Yes.
Nobody's forcing you to check it out.
No.
Or your kids to check it out.
Your kids.
Yeah, you should have responsibility.
But if you're a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old, and you want smutty books. I mean, they'll want to check them out.
You open this up,
yeah.
And you yeah. All this, they will find so much more than a smutty book on this.
I understand. I'm not saying there should be controls. I'm saying those youngsters are going to want to do that kind of stuff, and I agree with you 100%. You can get anything on that phone that you want, and so. You got to have some kind of processes in place, and that's why I'm asking. And we do have processes in place.
Yes, yes. We absolutely do.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't believe what my three now adult 30-some-year-old sons told me they accessed on this years ago.
And now you find
my
out.
Mom, so you know, we got it all here. We didn't have to go to the library.
Right.
Okay.
I have a separate question, Mr.
Sure.
Chair, if we're done. So I was talking to somebody on Saturday, a reader, and she said that she wishes that you had fines at the library because she's keeping her books too long and she's demotivated to read them in a timely manner. So she said, I used to read my books in, you know, the 2 weeks, and now I'm not. So. I don't know if they're going to go back to that or not, but, I mean, it does give people accountability to have to pay fines, you know, and responsibility to get the books back so other people can borrow them. So is there any discussion going forward about that?
Well, there is a spot in place. If you have it too long, you can't check out any other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you have it 10 days, you can't check anything else out. Yeah, and the notices are still the same. You still get the notice 3 days before it's due saying, hey, your book's due.
Anyway, that was her comment. And
this person just wanted a little nudge to read a little faster.
Get the book read and get it back.
Yeah, that's a new perspective I haven't heard.
Probably doesn't have the kid who hides book under the bed and you find it 4 months later and you're tearing your hair out because now you have $15 in fines.
Or 2 years later.
Okay, that will move on to the budget present projections on page 47. And I imagine Amy's going to do that.
Yep.
So current spending this year indicates an anticipated surplus of approximately $316,000 at this time. Reminder that we put almost that same exact amount in our budget for this year using our cash reserves. So things are trending as they should. Contributing factors to this revenue surplus include that miscellaneous receipts line that you can see on page 49 that was adjusted for our fines free efforts. When we adjusted that, we didn't anticipate that the monthly receipts would be averaging near $9,100 a month, which is a strong indication that people are coming back to the library. And using it as they should. The revenue line reflects all those patron payments for copies, lost materials, miscellaneous fees for lost replacement cards and jump drives, things like that. Let's see. The other main factor in the increased revenue is that interest rate recovery. Savings rates continue to decline. The monthly interest receivables are nearly back to where they were before the pandemic on our liquid savings. So we've been a little bit more aggressive in our CD purchases. We have 7 more maturities of CDs that are coming due in 2022. So that will help increase that overall CD portfolio rate of return. Another couple of lines that are larger than we had budgeted is that new locker system agreement in Sartell. And a mid-year allocation adjustment to the RLBSS funding at the state level. On the expenses side, that start on page 50 and 51, most of the expenditures are right on track. Personnel spending is reflective of the number of open positions and the staff turnover rate this year. That affects expenses associated with salaries and taxes and increases employers' costs for things like recruitment, the payroll services, and then the benefit administration. Spending in the services and contracts area, along with the vehicle expenses, are anticipated to exceed some budget lines in a couple of areas, and that's mainly due to the fees associated with those print and copier machines at every branch location, and then also that necessary maintenance that was done on the aging fleet while we waited for these new vehicles to arrive. Overall, at the end of August, expenditures were at 62% for the year, which is really good, and we anticipate that spending in communications, library materials, and all of the automation lines will be spent at 100% of budgeted amounts at the end of the year. Finally, if current trends continue, we would expect to present a designation in November to roll that surplus over into the budget for 2024, if there is any. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Amy? I guess so. We should be ahead of what we actually budgeted on the interest deal going forward here, because it doesn't look like that's going to slow down anytime soon.
Right.
Good, and you're aggressive on that. I know that.
Really good. Ed? Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mary.
Two things. The insurance is 256% over budget, and that's because of the fire. It's finally catching up to us.
Wait, I'm sorry, which line?
Insurance.
The insurance line? Oh, God, your settlement.
That was unanticipated expenses from the insurance line.
Yes.
That was a one-time expense.
But it's 3 times what we budgeted.
Yep. But that was expected after the first of the year.
And that's because of the fire?
No.
Finally catching up to us?
No, it's not due to insurance rates. I can talk to you about it after the meeting if you want.
Thank you. And then number two, question number two. So what does this mean? So it's above anticipated so far. So far.
Yep.
And then what does that mean for the budget, really?
I mean, means we'll have some extra money that we can put into 2024. That's been our practice, rather than having it go to reserve.
Yep. But in terms of change to the budget,
we won't be changing the budget. This is just how it's trending so far.
These are trend lines, Mary, that were trending as of August
31st. I get that.
31st.
We're not going to anticipate anything.
No.
Planning as usual.
Yes. And this is our this is our standard report.
If it gets better.
Right. I think it's going fairly well.
Yeah, it is right on track. This is right about where we were at last year at this time. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of amazing how much we do, and everything seems to stay the same. So we're doing the best that we can to control expenses, and sometimes these revenue lines that we have to guess at almost 18 months in advance before the real numbers come to fruition are pretty accurate. So.
So we've done a great deal with less.
Sometimes, yes.
And Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, Randy.
In the county, you know, you look at your revenues, you look at your expenditures, and again, some counties are not very financially sound, some are, and by looking at this year, our libraries are pretty financially sound based on, we're not in the world of hurt. You know, maybe we'll get a bundle from the legislators again, which I don't.
Keep working on it.
I mean, this is the thing. This is something I really look at, and you and your staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done, and I've said this before. You know, with all the hiring and people moving around, you're very budget conscious, and I appreciate that.
Thanks. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Takes good a great job. Crew to keep it going that way.
Yeah. Yep. And you
periodically bring up. Our reserves are too large, and the idea, you know, different folks have different priorities, but when I look at our reserves, we really got to screw up to blow this one, you know? So we're really in remarkably good shape. If we ever get back to more long-termish trends and planning and development ideas. Let's start thinking of ways we can deliver more services electronically, because that is a good way to leverage our staff resources.
I agree.
Maybe we won't get by with more service, less staff. It's one thing technology can do. And depending on the technology, that isn't an answer all, because the more tech you bring on, the sharper knives you need to run it.
Sometimes our staff are so good, people don't want the technology.
Yeah.
I speak for the self-checkout spot in Albany is not used very much because people like the contact of...
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what libraries do, a touch.
Anything else for Amy? Thanks for the report, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
12-2, Executive Director's Annual Evaluation Form.
This is Brian's big moment. Where he officially becomes Associate Director of HR, reporting to the board.
Yeah. Okay. A rite of passage.
Oh,
isn't
we
it?
Didn't update yours.
Yeah. No. Hi, I am Ryan McCormick. I have been the Associate Director of HR for about a month now. Like Karen said, prior to that, I got here in 2014 as a Patron Services Supervisor. If you don't know what that means, it's essentially a regional manager. I had been working with Wright and Sherman County Libraries most recently. So happy to be here, settling into the new role, very appreciative of Karen, Amy, and Patty's help and assistance as I kind of navigate these new waters and everything. And one of the first things we've got to do here in HR is Karen's annual performance review. So we're going to stick pretty close to the process last year. If you don't know what that is, I have feedback forms for you. We can do them virtually, or I have paper copies tonight with a self-addressed stamped envelope if you prefer that too. And it will ask you for your feedback on Karen's performance in a number of different areas. It will ask you for strategic planning, organizational communication, community leadership, relationship with the Board of Trustees, management of human resources, and her financial management. There's also a spot for overall comments, as well as her current employee goals, and a chance to chime in on what you think, what goals might be worth pursuing next year. If you have any questions or anything throughout the process, please reach out to me. My contact information is on here. You can always call the library, too. I'm the only Ryan that works in the building. They'll find me. And I know that Karen really does appreciate your feedback, so I know you're all busy people. If you could make time for this, I know she would very much appreciate it. It helps her reach her fullest potential as a director. And October 14th would be the preferred date to get back to me, either if you mail it in or if you contact me via email. Again, I'd appreciate that. Give us some time to pull everything together. I'll talk with Ed, and I'll talk with Melissa, who's the chair of the personnel committee, with the feedback, summarize it, and then in November we'll have a closed session. Not quite sure yet if that will be personnel or full board or however you all want to do that, and then we'll present everything to Karen, too, at that point. So, sound good? Any questions or anything at this point?
Karen makes it too easy.
That's good. I'll try to stick with that theme then and not make it too hard on anybody. Like I said, I'll send anybody an email tomorrow with a fill-in form if you want. You can just email that back. But like I said, I have the paper copies here too. Could you just give a hand wave if you prefer a paper copy? Okay.
As much as we want digital at the library.
I'll take paper too. I don't. Paper.
And I want a self-addressed envelope. Got that, Randy?
I go get it too, but they won't deliver it.
Ed, you probably are going to want to decide whether you're going to probably want to decide if you want full board or personal.
Yes, yes, I must paper.
Paper.
Should I decide or do you want?
You decide. I don't decide.
Paper's a popular choice.
Personnel's done it. It's been both ways.
I don't think I will, so I'm grateful for your flexibility. Okay.
If you run out, I can do it.
I have four left. One, two.
I'll take my digital.
Oh, we're one short then. Okay, here. Let's keep going here. So here we are, paper copy. Thank you so much for doing this. I do appreciate it.
I can do digital if you.
And I can wait for Ryan.
Or if you're going
to. Ryan, the drop date is
October 14th.
October 14th, which it is in the instructions there, too. If you can see them, October 14th would be great. I'm sorry, where was I? And I will find a way to get who's ever left. I have two envelopes.
No, I'll take it digital. Okay. Yep.
I would like paper. Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yep. If you
well, they'll stick
around. You can just give me the envelope, I guess, and then...
Yeah, if you just want to eat... We can take the envelope if you want to just email
it. If you
want
to email it to me,
and
I
then
can print
it ourselves.
If that's acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
great.
That with me,
yeah.
Too.
Okay. And thank you for your flexibility. It was a shot in the dark, paper versus electronic. I missed. Please don't let it be an auspicious start to my time in HR.
No.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Work. Good work.
So,
love it.
With that said, I think we'll turn to the route of the personnel committee. We'll review this and report to the board instead of the whole board discussing it. I think that's probably a better route to go. And then if you have any questions of the personnel committee, we can go from there. That's the route we will take on this, and Ryan will make sure that that happens.
You want personnel, not full board.
Yeah, that was last year's approach,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, yep. Yes, sir, we'll do the same.
Okay. Any questions on that? Anything? Don't forget the 14th. I think I did one year. It's a deadline came and went. Anything under others?
Nope.
Next board meeting is October 18th, Board of Trustees work session, and then November 15th would be another board member, trustee. Do we, and we'll decide if we need, we probably need a finance committee meeting.
Yeah, I'll have to look at what's not coming up. Well, You know, typically that budget projections report tonight would have gone to finance, but that would have been the only agenda item, so we moved it to the full board because it was a pretty light agenda. So it'll kind of depend on whether what all of the agendas look like.
Yeah, we can communicate and make that.
Yeah, happen. I'll let you know.
Okay. Any other?
There will be an October meeting.
Yes, there will be an October meeting.
Yes. Our goal would be to have the library development plan for you to review there. That's the three-year plan where we look at all of our facilities and different alternative services and decide how we're going to approach that in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to get that together for the October meeting.
Is there any other business that should come before this board?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have a question. Can you talk about 2 minutes about that logic model stuff?
Sure. So if you recall, we received ARPA money. One of the components of that grant was doing strategic type planning to address community needs post-COVID. So we contracted with the Wilder Research to do the logic model, and some of you participated in those sessions. The logic model was in the board packet last time and the full program evaluation that they built for us. So the next steps then would be to implement that program evaluation plan in the coming year so that we can make sure we're getting the feedback that we need from those participants and the community to develop the programs that they're asking for, if that makes sense. And so one of the challenges was we just aren't really good at measuring stuff. That's what we had talked about when we built the strategic plan. Assessment was one of those gaps. So this is a formal assessment plan for our programming that will allow us to incorporate that into our normal workflows. And we have a library leadership VISTA who's actually tasked with implementing parts of that plan over the next year.
So we are working on it.
Yes, we are.
I had a hard time kind of seeing action plans in there.
Yeah, the logic model itself is one of those standalone pieces. Like, why does the library exist is on the one side, and what are the inputs on the other side, and how do they connect? So reminding us of what are the short-term outcomes we're trying to achieve, the middle, you know, the medium-term outcomes and those long-term outcomes that we're trying to achieve in order to develop a community of literacy, having community collaborations, and those types of things.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Otherwise, I'll thank you for your participation, and we are adjourned.